Jonah got swallowed up by the whale is he was supposed to go to Nineveh and tell them that they needed to change their ways or God was going to destroy them. And we actually see in Jonah 3:4, after 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And one of the interesting things about this coming eclipse, and I will read this, is the timeline of the 40 days. So the total solar eclipse that will be taking place on April 8th of this year will pass through Jonah, Texas, and through several towns and cities bearing the name Nineveh. All this takes place under the constellation Cetus, which is the whale or the sea monster. 40 days after the eclipse will be May 18th, and that is the eve of Pentecost. Matthew 12:39, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. No, none will be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Hello and welcome to the Tinfoil Hat Club. My name's Kyle.
And I'm Ben.
And thank you for joining us yet again. Well, as is the usual, one plan happened, but God intervened and said, I think maybe you need to talk about something else. So we were going to talk about the Book of Jubilees this week, but I think maybe we're going to hold off on that for a future installment. It seems like we do this every week, but it's becoming a trend. Maybe that's our thing. We just do we come up with plans and God goes, oh, isn't that cute?
Or, I mean, we could somehow still fit some Jubilees into this.
It wouldn't surprise me based on what we're going to talk about. Yeah. This is actually going to be kind of a continuation of what we've talked about the last few weeks. So we obviously had Joe on last week, Joe Truitt, and we talked about a lot of the celestial event that's coming up in October, which is an interesting time frame. Given the fact that we're going to herald in the 70th Jubilee in October, we'll get into maybe that a little bit. So I guess there's a little bit of a tie in there. And then the week prior to that, we talked about.
How could I forget?
The red heifers.
Move it on over. Sorry for that terrible move.
No, we talked about some cows. Who knew cows would herald potentially the beginning of the end, but yet here's where we sit. So kind of discussing a little bit more, we did kind of briefly talk about the eclipse that's coming up here on April 8th with Joe last week, but not in a lot. We didn't really get into it too much.
No.
But it's just kind of interesting. We had a very good discussion today.
We've been together all day.
Yeah, we have been.
And it's like, what, almost six now?
It is. Yeah, we... it is six, actually. Crazy enough. Or is it five? I don't know. We time changed, so it's all weird. But we had lunch together, had a great talk, and you and Adrian, Maria and I, and I think ultimately we've made the decision to talk about the eclipse and some of the things, because I think the timing of it is so strange, and some of the things that are happening where the eclipse is going to be and what it's going to go over when it's here and what it might actually be kind of foreshadowing to come could be kind of scary. Now,
or is it emulating something as well?
Well, it could be. I'll let you dive into that realm. But ultimately, what I'm going to say is this. Here's your episodic disclaimer. We're not saying these things are going to happen, but it sure seems strange that they are happening.
Things that make you go,
Things that make you go, I really hope not, because it's going to get bad if so.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are not aware, just a little bit of fun factual information for you, and this is how we'll start off this crazy psycho party today. The eclipse that's going to happen on April 8th is rather interesting. The path that it's going to take over our country and Canada as well is going to pass over these following cities. Jonah, Texas. Nineveh, Texas, Rapture, Indiana, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, New York, and Nineveh, Nova Scotia, also the Ark Williamson in Kentucky, which is where they have the Ark exhibit.
Yeah.
Now,
is it anywhere near Nazareth, Pennsylvania as well?
That's interesting. Didn't look, but we can pull that up on the map and take a look. But now the interesting thing is when you look at some of the other paths of previous eclipses, The cross point is actually right on in southern Indiana, right over the Ohio River. And all of this kind of intersects right where the New Madrid fault line is. And some of you may not even realize, if you're listening to this show and you're a local listener, where we are at in Indiana, or down there in southern Indiana, kind of where Kentucky, Illinois, Missouri, kind of that whole area, you know, that region right there, is the where the New Madrid Fault is. And the last earthquake we had was back in the 1800s, I want to say.
Well, the worst one, because we've had rumblings and...
Yeah, and they've all been pretty minor, like threes and...
You know. I remember one, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago, we were laying in bed and it happened.
Yeah, we've had a couple here, but I've never really felt them.
Oh,
here.
We did. It was like our whole house shook.
Yeah, freaky, huh?
Yeah.
So the new Madrid earthquake, the big one we were talking about, was 1811 through 1812, because they had several, you know, initial earthquakes and then aftershocks. And I think some of the aftershocks were even bigger than the initial earthquake. And they don't really know, right? They have to guess, because we didn't, you know, seismically have all the tools and stuff to judge. So we're just kind of guessing. But they ranged by 7.2 to 8.2.
That's massive.
That's a massive earthquake. And obviously, this part of the country is not designed for that type of seismic activity.
But that's the biggest fault line.
Yeah, crazy, right? Yeah. So
I guess that's its fault.
We're at fault. we're not prepared. It's our fault. But yeah, so it's interesting that it's passing over this particular area. And the reason that is interesting, and again, we're not saying these things are going to happen. We're just kind of spitballing this week. And I do find it awful strange that things are passing over all those places that, you know, we just talked about. And some of you may be asking yourselves, Nineveh, what's so big about Nineveh? Because several of those places were mentioned were Nineveh, right? Well, for those of you that are familiar at all with the Bible, a lot of the stories we learned when we were kids is the story of Jonah and the whale. Jonah swallowed by the whale. And we typically get caught up into that part of the story. But where Jonah was actually supposed to go, and the reason he got swallowed up by the whale, is he was supposed to go to Nineveh in the Middle East and tell them that they needed to change their ways or God was going to destroy them. And we actually see in Jonah 3:4, after 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And one of the interesting things about this coming eclipse, and I will read this, is the timeline of the 40 days. So the total solar eclipse that it will be taking place on April 8th of this year will pass through Jonah, Texas, and through several towns and cities bearing the name Nineveh. Also passing through Rapture, Indiana. All this takes place under the constellation Cetus, which is the whale or the sea monster. Also included in the path of the eclipse is the Ark, Williamston, Kentucky. 40 days after the eclipse will be May 18th, and that is the eve of Pentecost. So I just find it interesting that we're drawing parallels to Jonah and the eve of Pentecost. And it gets a little deeper than that, because if we go back to Matthew 12, verse 39, we see there, I think I've got it pulled up here, so let me read that to you. And of course, we like to use the CJB, the Complete Jewish Bible. And Matthew 12, 39, I'll actually start in 38. Some of the Torah teachers said, Rabbi, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He replied, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. No, none will be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the depths of the earth. Which is interesting foreshadowing.
Yeah.
The people of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they turned from their sins to God when Jonah preached. But what is here now is greater than Jonah. So Christ is actually drawing some parallels to Jonah in this particular time and this, you know, this generation. Now, we clearly could think that he was talking to, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and all these folks at the time and the generation, the people of that time. But I think one of the things that you learn as you get more and more into scripture and you see how Christ operated, he clearly is very layered in his, what he says.
Yeah.
So I just find that interesting foreshadowing, to what we've maybe got coming up here soon. Now, again, could mean nothing, right? The only thing now, I did dig into this. The only thing that I can't 100% confirm is that this will happen under the constellation Cetus, C-E-T-U-S. But everything else is obviously dead on. It's going over all those different places.
It's crazy. When I saw it a few weeks ago, I was like, now, people sensationalize a lot of things.
Absolutely.
They do. But just Jonah, Nineveh. And then, you know, he did say, we will see signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a sign and that's a wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way you can look at it is, oh, well, that's just science. That's just things happening. That could be. But if you have been listening for the past couple of weeks and you know what we talked about like last week and then the week before, things are lining up to be very interesting. This is a very interesting year.
Yeah.
Especially with a presidential election coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no win for everybody, both sides. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, Trump people. I'll say it. I'm not a Trumper. I'm not a Bidener. This is what I am.
Burn them all at the stake.
Yes. I'm coming now. I'm saying this. I'm an American.
Yeah.
I think things, I don't know. I'm just thinking this. We don't need to be divided.
No.
We need to be united. Mm-hmm. So forget the political stuff.
Yeah.
Throw that out. They are never going to save you.
No.
If you keep listening, I will say this. If you keep listening and believing that stuff, there's a good chance it could send you to hell.
Yeah, man. They're
Christ is our leader.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only way we're getting out of this with our skin intact.
Yes.
That's your eternity is not built on any person.
No.
It's built on Christ.
I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
No, I think that's very good. You were asking about a town in Pennsylvania. Was it Bethlehem?
Bethlehem or Nazareth?
Bethlehem, no. Let me look up Nazareth.
I think Nazareth is kind of south of there.
It doesn't seem like anyway, based on the rough map that I'm looking at.
No, I mean, why would it be? Because
they're actually pretty close together.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. It was just an interest. I mean, but why would it be going? Because Jonah for judgment, you know, he was sent there to Nineveh to judge them, tell them to turn or burn pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And the king listened and they all ripped their clothes, put sackcloth and ashes on their head and repented for 100 years and they were stayed. But the funny thing was, there's 100,000 people in Nineveh that didn't know from their left or their right. So those were 100,000 kids.
Yeah.
Now, they were stayed 100. So that means those kids got a reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
And
but their kids didn't.
But their kids.
Or grandkids.
Yeah.
And then eventually Nineveh was.
Yeah. Destroyed.
Yeah. Again, don't know. Don't know what it means, but I think that it's very clear, and I think a lot of Americans have felt this way for a while.
Yeah, wake up. They're slowly rubbing their eyes to wake up.
Yeah, we're headed for judgment.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you know, even if you're listening to us and you're like, I don't know, this is kind of whatever. If you just go look through history, you know, what happens to great civilizations?
Yeah.
You know, the ones that just conquer the world or the diamond of the time. And that's kind of us, right? And we have been for a while now. Once you start doing the things that we're doing, you know, and all of the ways that we celebrate Satan instead of celebrate Christ, we're headed for judgment.
Yeah.
And, you know, is this our warning? Yeah. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. It will be interesting to see what happens 40 days after the eclipse.
And it's 2 weeks before Passover, too. The eclipse. Exactly 2 weeks.
Oh, before Passover.
Yes.
So, yeah, you've got the eclipse and then Passover. And then after that would be, it was 40 days before Passover, right? All right.
Well, the eclipse is the 8th. Passover is the 22nd. Sorry. Sorry, folks.
Oh, Pentecost. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, folks. You can't have Easter before Jesus is crucified.
Yeah.
So
I mean, like,
Easter is wrong as well. Sorry. I'm just going to rip that band-aid off.
No, it's true. Like, I don't know why we shy away from this. Like, well, the time to shy away from things is over.
Yes.
Over, gone. You can't have a resurrection before you have a crucifixion.
Yes.
And we know for a fact, if you go dig into your history, you know, for those of everybody that wants to celebrate Easter, you know, we're not shaming you, but what we are encouraging you to do is to go look at your Bible and go look at history and read. And the Passover is not until April, what did we say? 22nd?
22nd.
Yeah, April 22nd. But here we've got Easter coming up here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have a resurrection before you have a crucifixion.
I know.
You know, it's a pagan holiday.
Yes.
Just like Christmas is a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still.
Amen. Amen.
We still celebrate it. Yes. Yeah. It's like, why are we doing this? And again, that's just one more thing where it's like, why wouldn't we be judged, man?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't God finally pour out some wrath on us? So what does this mean? You know, like,
okay, let's, I heard somebody explain Christmas like this.
Okay.
I don't get it because I'm not there. Christmas would be like if you still wanted to celebrate your ex's birthday with your new married partner.
No, that's true, man. It's kind of crazy, but it's true.
Would you want to do that?
I'm thinking that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, Foilers. Ben and I need your support as we continue to work to grow it for God and increase the amount of listeners to the podcast. Here is what you can do to help. Head on over to our website, thetfhc.com, to take advantage of our Conspiracy sale. All of our t-shirts are 20% off until the end of May. Also, we are excited to announce the Foil has gone digital. That's right. From this point forward, you can now listen or watch every episode of the Tinfoil Hat Club podcast on YouTube, Rumble, or our website, thetfhc.com/video. If you have questions after watching or want to reach out to us, be sure to send us an email, thedudes@thetfhc.com. Feeling charitable and want to give to the cause? Consider donating using our Cash App link, which can be found on our website. Last, come and be a part of the TFHC family on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Rumble. And be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share with everyone you think would enjoy the podcast. Thanks to each of you for your love and support. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, because the same with Easter.
Yeah.
It's another X.
Yeah, that's very true.
That we're celebrating.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say we. I mean, we are celebrating. It's not our X, but we are celebrating their birthday. Our ancestors' gods that they used to serve.
Yeah.
Judgment's coming.
It's coming, man. You know, the other thing, too, is... Again, we're not a political show, but at the same time, it's hard to separate the two. We just need to, again, we got to rip off the Band-Aid. I'll use your language. You know, for those of us that watched the State of the Union the other day, I don't know about anybody else, but I watched a president up there that stood up there and said, you know what, give me 4 more years and I'll let you start sacrificing your kids again because I'll get that. I'll get Roe versus Wade reinstalled.
Yeah.
And reinstated, and we'll put it back in and give you the quote unquote health care that you need. But all that translated to me was so you can justify... Yeah. Sacrificing your children again for the sake of convenience.
Yeah.
Because I know we like to talk about all the horrible things that happen, you know, like the, you know, infertility things and then the rapes and the incest and all these horrible things. But the fact of the matter is 80% of all abortions are just purely done out of convenience or rather inconvenience.
Yeah.
So let's cut the crap here.
Yeah.
And, you know, God, how many millions of babies have we gotten rid of now?
Well,
can we even count?
No, they need blood sacrifice to stay living too. There's all those gods and demons and evil things.
And you know, it's again.
I know this is like taking a turn, but it's the truth.
We're coming hard today, but you know what? That's what we feel called to do, and we'll let God sort out the rest.
Yeah.
So you know, here's where we get into the discussion point of. So what does this mean?
Yeah.
What is going to happen? And it's anybody's guess. I just want to make sure I put the disclaimer out again. We're going to spitball some stuff. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying that it could happen.
Yeah.
We've kind of already hinted to it that we're on all the intersection point for the last few eclipses. And this one especially is on the New Madrid fault line. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in service today. Your dad was preaching. He was not preaching on any of this stuff. And I just suddenly went back to the eclipse in my mind. And I started putting together one of the things that he was saying. And I thought of earthquake. There's several earthquakes that are mentioned in Revelation. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I wondered if one of the earthquakes that we were discussing was at the seventh seal.
You know, here's a thought while you're looking that up. Do you think the New Madrid fault line, I know I'm going to throw some big theory out there and you guys can, whatever, could be connected close to where Israel is?
On the other side of the earth?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, have to look up the geography of that.
I mean, just
that's kind of, there's a lot of things like that I wonder, and it's fun to dig into.
I mean, it's because they're supposed to have an earthquake too that splits the mountain.
Yeah, there's a lot. When you really go through Revelation, there's quite a few different earthquakes in there. But just to read, and this is Revelation 8, I'll read this really quick. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for what seemed like a half hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven shofars, or trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden incense bowl, and he was given a large quantity of incense to add to the prayers of all of God's people on the gold altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of God's people from the hand of the angel before God. Then the angel took the incense bowl, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it down to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder, voices, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And then we get ready for the seven trumpets. So next is the seven angels, the seven shofars prepared to sound them. So we don't know how much time passes between here and then. And Christ told us, right? Matthew 24, it seems like we've been living in Matthew 24 a lot lately. My goodness, I think there's reasons for that, right? You know, when we see some of the things, when we go Matthew 24, and I'll pick up in verse 23, you know, he's talking about false messiahs and false messiahs. At that time, if someone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe him, for there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen, if possible. There, I have told you in advance. So if people say to you, listen, he's out in the desert, don't go. Or look, he's hidden away in a secret room, don't believe it. For when the Son of Man does come, it will be like lightning that flashes out of the east and fills the sky to the western horizon. Wherever there's a dead body, that's where you'll find the vultures. But immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark, the moon will stop shining, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory.
Did you notice? He said from the east to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Most storms come from the west.
Don't most storms come from the east?
No.
No, you're right. West to, yeah, they go west to east.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. But we said east to the west.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is interesting.
See, that's what I've always pondered. So that means things are going to be so messed up.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We were talking about this at lunch today too, when we were having our discussion with the four of us about the last time we had this earthquake. It was so bad that the Mississippi River flowed backwards for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and it swallowed a whole Indian village too.
Yeah, gone, just poof. There were a lot of other towns and stuff too that they would cease to exist after that.
Yeah,
I think there was one or two in Indiana.
Yeah, there was.
So
I've never been scared of like the big one for California. I've always been scared of the one in Indiana.
From earthquake perspective,
yes.
Yeah, we were
that one's very active. In California.
Oh, yeah, they're used to it, right?
Yeah, and it's like...
And their codes and building stuff are built around.
Yeah, and we aren't. I mean, you know, we get nervous when like a heavy wind, like 100-mile-an-hour windstorm comes through. Cause I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
I can't imagine
our world.
Can't imagine like the ground literally just opening up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, if it's of God, it's going to be massive and people are going to die.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
that it's going to happen.
That it's going to happen. But yeah,
again, disclaimer, we're spitballing here. But
an earthquake of that significance.
No, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, part of it's going to be we're just kind of throwing these out here. And part of it's going to be, you know, I can't say 100% because I'm not a prophet.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that, you know, to look at the signs of things that are going on. And I wonder what's going to happen on the 40 days on the eve of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking after church today too, and I'm trying to pull the verse up here, but you know, where it talks about, I think Paul talks about your women and your children will prophesy.
Yeah.
But,
and your old men will dream dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget where that was at. And your old men will dream dreams.
So how old is that really?
I think we qualify, Ben. That's where you're going for. Acts, yeah, it was Acts 2:2. 2:17 specifically. So we'll go there really quick. Adonai says, in the last days I will pour out from my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Now I'm gonna pause right there because one of the major conversations that we had at lunch was actually stemming from, and this discussion that we were actually having where went into Acts and all these things were stemming from a dream that your wife had.
Yeah.
And it feels like a very prophetic and very horrific dream.
Yeah.
My wife has also had prophetic and really terrifying dreams that have...
We should have had them on.
Well, maybe we should. Maybe that's a teaser. Come back next week.
Yeah.
We'll have the girls on and we'll talk about these things. So, you know, as she was talking, I immediately thought of this verse. And I'm terrible with telling you where in the Bible. I just know that the verse is there and I just need to find it. I've never been good at that and never will be good at that. So know thy strength. At least I know it's in there. And this is Acts 2:17. And again, I read the first part to you and just read it again. Adonai says, in the last days, I'll pour out from my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out from my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Or perform miracles in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon blood before the great and fearful day of Adonai comes. Then whoever calls in the name of Adonai will be saved.
Yeah.
Now you tell me, I thought of that today when your wife was talking.
Yeah.
And we're talking about having an eclipse. And we're talking about earthquakes and all these things.
After 2 weeks ago, I have felt a pressing urgency more than I have ever felt in my life.
With the heifer conversation?
With the heifer conversation. Mm-hmm. And it has been, how do I tell people to get to the Lord? Not like... I'm going to post on Facebook, if you love Jesus, type in that.
Or
like,
come on.
Not like that. I mean, a deep... understanding of, look, folks, something's happening.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. I feel like there is such a huge burden. And I think I've even said this at church too, that something's happening.
Yeah.
That
if everybody feels it.
If you have your ear to the ground, you know something's off.
Something's up.
And you better make sure you're right with the Lord.
Yeah.
That's if you take anything away, get right with the Lord, get a relationship, just something, and get your nose in the book.
Yep.
And just a little bit of knowledge can help. Just, and then you can start learning and you can start opening your eyes. Start rubbing the sleep out of your eyes and look around. Things are happening at a very fast pace.
For me, one of the craziest things about all this is the everything combined together.
Oh yeah.
You know, the prophetic nature of what's happening. Yeah. Because you know what? Every generation, we've talked about this before, every generation has laid claim, you know, to, hey, the end is coming, da 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 da. You know, here, look what people are doing. Look at how wicked people are, so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
All these things. But the fact of the matter is, we can pick apart people's, you know, behavior. And yes, many generations have had claim to the end times based on the way we see people's behavior. We've gotten even more wicked since, as every generation goes on.
Yeah.
But now we're doing things that are stepping beyond behavior and literally in stepping into the realm of biblical prophecy being fulfilled.
Yeah.
I mean, everything I just read to you in Acts is crazy. I mean, these things are happening and they're getting ready to happen, right?
Yeah. I don't know how true it is, but somebody said the moon is starting to rust.
So we saw that the other day too.
Turning red.
And they can't explain it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Which, you know, God can do whatever God wants to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if it's a slow pace, God is slow to anger.
Mm, yeah. But when he gets there.
Yes. Cause it's a day. Did you notice that when you read it at the end, it's a day, the day.
Yeah.
So that means it's not a, when you're there that day, it's going to be terrible.
It ain't going to be pretty,
you know,
he's had enough,
you know, and the closest, I think the United States other than 9/11, would be Mount St. Helens blowing as a natural disaster that is terrible.
True, Pearl Harbor, but again, not a natural disaster.
Yeah, a lot of people died, but not nearly what an earthquake is.
It's funny you made that reference. I literally watched a video this morning of Mount St. Helens.
That's like my favorite thing to watch.
Slow, time elapse.
Yeah.
Where the whole side of the mountain caves in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. The power.
Yeah.
And ferocity. And that's nothing. Like in the grand scheme of eruptions, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, it was a violent eruption. I think it was like they do a volume, like VEI intensity or whatever. And I think it goes up to like 7, I want to say. And I think that one was like a 4.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or a 5 maybe.
And that's not even a, you know, max.
Oh no, like the 7s would be
like Pompeii.
No, like that wasn't even, I think that might've been like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But 7 would be things that we haven't had, that we haven't seen. Like, you know, the Yellowstones and these great huge.
See,
I'll pull it up here.
And when you think about, all that stuff out west is active, but we're in the Midwest where we're not very active as far as seismic activity. So let's just say the X marks the spot.
Yep. We're the spot, yo.
Yeah. And let's just say
hate to say that, but what's what it looks like.
Let's say, and let's imagine it's like a, you know, you hold a magnifying glass under the sun and that's what it does.
Yep.
Heats it up just enough. I know it's, but that's the best way
my
mind can reconcile
figurative
this
with it. Yeah.
So if you do that, if you get a map and you can look it up and you just think about a magnifying glass shining the sunlight to burn an ant right on that spot, it could be just enough pressure or to make it go pop.
Yep. No, I mean, exactly. And, you know, again, it goes back to what we talked about with your brother, right?
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. You know, we don't know what's going to happen here coming up later in the year either. So I pulled up the VEI, the volume, they call it the Volcanic Explosivity Index. And Mount St. Helens, it actually goes up to 8. And Mount St. Helens was a 5.
Wow.
Some of these we probably have not seen. And they're obviously, nobody's seen it, right? Like this, so they're just guessing, just based on volume. And each time, I think the same thing happens with an earthquake. Each time you go up a number, it goes up by a factor of 10.
Yeah.
So a 5, a 10 would be 10 times stronger than a 5.
Yeah.
And then a 6 would be 10 times stronger, or a 6 would be 10 times stronger than a 5, and a 7 would be 10 times stronger than a 6. So comparatively, Mount St. Helens on a 5 compared to a 7, the 7 would be 100 times larger in volume than the 5. So 6 would be Santorini in 1620 BC. So that's an interesting one that they, I think they've started to find.
Okay.
Here lately.
Where was that at?
I want to say it's over kind of in Italy.
Okay. Well, I figured by the name.
Yeah. And some of the islands off of Italy.
Okay.
And then see, we've got Krakatoa, which I was fascinated with. I actually read a whole book on and listened to an audiobook on Krakatoa. Okay. That was in 1883. That was the largest, the loudest noise ever recorded on Earth. I forget how many times the sound of the eruption circled the Earth.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah. And then we had seasonal changes because of all the volume of ash that was dispersed into the atmosphere.
What year was that?
1883. And then we had Santa Maria in 1902. And then Nova Rupta in 1912. And then Mount Pinatubo in our lifetime in 1991. And then the next would be a 7. The only one that we would even have any wind of is Mount Tambora in 1815. And then after that is just theory. You know, like you get into the Yellowstones and
yeah,
some of these. Because Yellowstone's obviously they've found that there's a huge caldera underneath Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I mean, that Yellowstone is like, you know, it would be a global.
But as long as the geysers and everything keep going off, I think we'll be okay, right?
Yeah, you know, like it's, personally, I mean, I don't think that's the way the show's going to end here based on what I read, but I think some of these other things, you know, I don't know about volcanoes, but I mean, the volcanic activity and earthquake activity, seismic activity are very...
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, tied at the hip.
Pretty close.
Yeah, like, you know, we were talking about, you know, Gabe, your son is down in Mexico City, and they're having, currently right now, they're having whatever the mountain is down there, the volcanic, active volcano.
Yeah.
That has become more active. It's been active forever.
Yeah.
But it's become more active here lately. The water table seems to be going to almost the point of nothing.
Yeah, they said possibly by June, water.
Because what it sounded like, the way you're describing it, is because Mexico City is a bowl, like we talked about, and that bowl is lowering.
Yeah.
And it's basically squeezing all the water out.
And it's crushing all the old sewer
systems,
and it's just crushing it.
Yeah. And they have historically always had a high amount of seismic activity.
Yeah, earthquakes.
And bad earthquakes.
Yeah.
And weird, we were talking about this, a history of having an earthquake on September 19th.
Yeah.
Two of their most major earthquakes, many years apart, happened on the same exact day.
Yeah.
That's crazy time.
And with everything coming up this fall, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's just insane. So I'm sure you're ready for him to come home, which is going to be...
Which it's
timing wise good. Oh, God's looking out for him.
You know, he's kind of in his own world. And he's
I know. We're sitting at the table talking, you know, doomsday, and he's like, well, I went into a record store.
Yeah.
I'm having tacos, authentic Mexican food.
Yeah.
He's living it up, which I'm glad for.
And last week they were having earthquakes. Mm. And he's like, I just sat down to have lunch, and everybody runs out of the building because. Because I didn't know why they were running out. It was an earthquake.
Yep.
He said it happened a couple times.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you were saying at lunch that, you know, they are concerned enough because all of the things that are happening now foreshadowed some of these previous earthquakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know when the last major eruption of that volcano was.
It's been going off, I think, since 17. Just blowing steam and
2017.
Yeah, you know what I mean by blowing. It's just
constantly having some kind of release.
Yeah,
you know it's kind of
which I think is good.
Yeah,
you know I'd rather have something, you know, something than not and then build up and boom.
Yeah, yeah,
it's kind of
crazy.
Kind of like with the Mount St. Helens thing, they noticed that it was bulging, and they're like. You know, they knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was like just a cannon going off. That is, to me, that I know as a little kid, but I still watch documentaries on that because it's just so amazing.
to jump back kind of on the same line, I just want to read this really quick in regards to New Madrid, because I've been kind of skimming this as we've been talking.
Yeah.
In a report, and this is on Wikipedia, so everybody can get to it. In a report filed in November of 2008, so we're almost 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
The U.S. Federal Emergency, so FEMA, Management Agency, warns that a serious earthquake in the New Madrid seismic zone could inflict, quote, the highest economic losses due to a natural disaster in the United States.
Yeah.
Further predicting widespread and catastrophic damage across Alabama, Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, and particularly Tennessee, where a 7.7 or greater magnitude earthquake would cause damage to tens of thousands of structures affecting water distribution, transportation systems, and other vital infrastructure.
What did it say about Tennessee?
It said particularly Tennessee.
Huh. I wonder if it's closer.
I don't know. The fault line literally sits pretty much right on the border between Tennessee. It's right where Tennessee, Missouri, and Kentucky converge.
Yeah.
Right there. Which, you know, was right on the Ohio River.
Yeah.
You know, where the Ohio probably dumps into the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My prediction, I'll just give it to you now.
Go ahead.
We're going to have an earthquake 40 days after the eclipse.
I hope not.
I hope not too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying it could.
It could. And I'm just saying, I hope not. I always try to stay optimistic. You know,
I think God gives us the signs. He told us, right? Signs and wonders.
I know, but I just...
I know. I hear
you. I'm optimistic because I know it's God's world. Actually, it is. I mean, for those of you that doubt that, but God created it and God can do whatever he wants to with it. You just got to figure out if you're going to serve him or not.
Yeah. The only other option would be...
to move?
No. Some kind of nuclear event.
Yeah, that could be.
But I don't know. I'm not meant to scare everybody, but I think I kind of want to try. If this shocks anybody awake to start reading and paying attention to things, then I'm down. And we don't want to be the crazy nut jobs that are telling you to stop living your life and abandon all hope and live in a bunker and eat canned soup and green beans for the rest of your life, planning on the end showing up any day. But what we are saying is, let's pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah. Today, boy, a lot of our shows go back to what we talked about in church.
Yeah, amazing how that works.
One thing I noticed when my dad said the civil defense, is that even around anymore? Or did FEMA take that over?
FEMA probably took everything over.
And I remember a lot of places would have fallout shelters. I know the courthouse in Lebanon has a fallout shelter.
Really?
I don't know if it's still active or not. Hmm. But
like, how effective are those anyway? I think a lot of those things, they were done for just like to make people feel better.
I wish I had something like that.
Yeah.
Why do all the rich men go in the ground?
They typically do. That's very true.
Bunkers in the ground.
Yeah. That's the other thing I was looking at is like this particular, I was looking at, and I, you know, want to continue to do this even after the show's over, but I was kind of zeroing in on where the cross marks of these eclipses are going to be. You know, like the previous eclipses and then this eclipse.
Yeah.
Looking where the crosshairs intersect.
Yeah.
To see what kind of assets were in that particular area.
What was in there on this one?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look. But I think the president's big, huge underground bunker, isn't that in like Wyoming? The one that he's got carved into the side of the mountain?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is in Wyoming, I think.
I think so, too. I don't know. And then there's the one in Colorado underneath there.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, the airport one.
Yeah. That's a crazy. Well, we should put that on the show at some point. That is a wackadoodle. That is a wackadoodle conspiracy theory right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a crazy one. It took them however many years to build it.
Yeah.
I've been in that airport. It's very strange.
I bet it is.
Yeah. It's less strange now. They had a lot of really strange like artwork and very demonic.
Didn't they paint over it?
I think they did.
Because they were like, wait, that's too obvious.
Maybe we made it a little too obvious. Like they went like however many years over like construction and millions and millions of dollars over budget. And it's very strange too, because this is Denver International we're talking about. So when I say Denver to you, have you ever been there?
No.
Been to the airport? When I say Denver, you, what do you think of?
Mountains.
Right. You would think of mountains, right? And snow caps and things like this, right? Yeah. I'm telling you, when you go to land in that airport, it's like landing in the middle of Nebraska. It's flat as a pancake.
Isn't it built on a mountain too?
No.
Oh, really?
It's literally built off away from the city.
Huh.
And on flat, literally when we flew in, it was harvest time and it looked like there was dudes harvesting the fields around the airport. It's literally like landing in the middle of Nebraska.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
That's weird.
And they built it out here and now there's supposedly all this underground thing that's really happening at the airport, and which isn't really shocking, right? Because like they have found,
isn't there,
the Nazis did this.
Yeah,
they built tons of stuff underground.
Isn't there
into airports from like the Hitler's bunker and everything else?
Isn't there a passage where it says the kings and things will hide in the earth and then the rocks will fall on them or something like that?
I kind of do vaguely remember that. Is that Revelation? Maybe.
I think so. Could be. Now let's just think about that for a minute. You know, they hide in the earth and then they get crushed.
Yeah.
You know,
Joe never would know anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever. That dude's a hellbound creep. I don't know. I know we're not told to judge a man's soul, but I can judge fruit, and that man's fruit is rotten as any.
Yeah.
As any fruit you're ever going to find.
As most politicians.
Amen. Amen. So yeah, man, it's I don't know, bro. I don't know what's going to happen. What do you think? I've shared my crazy cockamamie thing.
Like I said, I'd like to stay optimistic.
I like it.
And I'm not saying we're going to get raptured.
We're not getting raptured. No, we both agree to that.
No, but it's, I like to stay optimistic with things and see what happens.
Yeah.
It's fun to discuss. It really is. But I'm not saying, yeah,
this is going to happen,
but
yeah, I want to make sure that I say that I think this can happen, but I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I would say it's very possible. It's like,
I sure don't like it,
but my thing is if something does happen, be prepared.
Yeah. Amen.
We were just talking about that today, is being prepared. I'm not like, prepared as most. I mean, if something does happen, but if something does happen, something that's terrible, I know where I'm going if I die.
Amen.
And that's all that matters.
Amen. I just hate the thought of like my loved ones being left behind, my kids, my wife, you know, to do this without me being there to help them.
Yeah.
You know, and protect them. And I know some of that's kind of a goofy thought because, you know, I mean, like, how do you protect someone from nuclear radiation? But at least to be there to try to comfort them and protect them as best I can.
Yeah. No.
And you know what? We have made our, from that perspective, because here's the thing. Okay, if I was an enemy of the United States, where would I want to drop a nuke?
Yeah.
Well, New Madrid might not be a bad spot. You know, you figure you destroy the middle of the country, you know? You kind of cut off all the ground travel, and then you could really wreak havoc doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you could.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. All I know is, you can read it in the Bible. You can see it through history. When you do what we have done for as long as we've done it, and the wickedness that we've turned to, and Paul tried to tell us, and so did Christ, you know, specifically Paul, if you all turn from your wicked ways and seek my face,
yeah,
I'll heal your land. I'll hear you from heaven and I'll heal your land. But if you don't,
yeah,
I'm going to get you.
Like
the judgment's coming.
The Casting Crown song, what if his people prayed? And that, and it's, uses that verse.
Yeah.
And if I think another thing we discussed at church, at lunch, and we've actually been talking about it in service too. Well, we haven't, but we've been listening, but I think we agree as a church, we need to throw off all doctrinal issues that hold us apart. We need to come together and agree that we are saved by Christ and we are to serve him, and everything, all the other traditions, doctrines, dogma, throw that out and just go by the Bible. If the church were to do that and unite, and I mean, throw out the crazy stuff. Throw out all the legalistic stuff. Follow Christ, the true head of the church. Mm-hmm. The church in the United States can change the world.
Oh, man. No doubt about it.
And
I mean, just imagine if you were able to combine together under one common, under Christ, right? And we throw out all the other stuff. Catholics, Baptists, I mean, everybody. Yeah. Methodists. I mean, even if you took the biggest of the three of the groups.
Yeah.
And just put them together and they were united. Oh, dude. Yeah. Unstoppable.
But
we'd have a lot less people going to hell, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. And I was telling you about when Jesus and Pilate were having the discussion about truth, and it's very prophetic. Even they had this discussion about truth. Pilate said, you know, what's truth? And that's everybody's saying, well, it's my truth today.
Yeah.
And right after that, Pilate had Jesus taken out and flogged.
Damn, you said it was in John, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, I got it pulled up.
Okay.
You want me to read it?
Sure.
Okay. John 19, actually, verse 1. Pilate then took Yeshua, Jesus, and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted thorn branches into a crown and placed it on his head, put a purple robe on him. Placed is a very gentle way to put that, by the way, because we mashed it into his skull.
Yeah.
And went up to him, saying over and over, "Hail, King of the Jews," and hitting him in the face. Pilate went outside once more and said to the crowd, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to get you to understand that I find no case against him." So Yeshua came out wearing the thorn branch crown and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Look at the man." When the head Kohanim and the temple guards saw him, they shouted, "Put him to death on the stake. Put him to death on the stake." Pilate said to them, "You take him out yourselves and put him to death on the stake, because I don't find any case against him." The Judeans answered him, "We have a law. According to that law, he ought to be put to death because he made himself out to be the Son of God." On hearing this, Pilate became even more frightened. He went back into the headquarters and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus didn't answer. So Pilate said to him, "You refuse to speak to me? Don't you understand that it is in my power either to set you free or to have you executed on the stake?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it didn't have been given to you from above. This is why the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." On hearing this, Pilate tried to find a way to set him free, but the Judean shouted, "If you set this man free, it means you are not a friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king is opposing the emperor." When Pilate heard what they were saying, he brought Jesus outside and sat down on the judge's seat in the place called the pavement, in Aramaic, Gabta. It was about noon on preparation day for Passover. He said to the Judeans, "Here is your king." They shouted, "Take him away, take him away, put him to death on the stake." Pilate said to them, "You want me to execute your king on a stake?" The head Kohanim answered, or I think it's Pharisee, right? "We have no king but the emperor." Then Pilate handed Yeshua over to them to have him put to death on the stake. So they took charge of Jesus. Carrying the stake himself, he went out to the place called Skull in Aramaic, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the stake along with two others, one on either side with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had the notice written and posted on the stake. It read, "Jesus from Nazareth, the King of the Jews."
Yeah.
He was right-minded enough to basically know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm using "we" very, very lightly compared to that. We are crucified for the truth.
Oh, for sure. And we're going to be.
And it was very, I mean, that, I know there's more layers right there. Mm-hmm. You know, we discuss every day, people discuss truth. And right before then, they had a discussion about truth.
Yeah.
And then he's taken out and flogged and beaten almost to death. And he was still able to have a conversation afterwards.
Yeah. Which, for anyone that's seen, have you seen Passion of the Christ?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. The flogging scene is rough.
Yeah, it is.
And true story, for anyone that hasn't seen that movie, I would highly suggest you watch that movie because, man, you want to talk about brutally honest imagery of what your Savior went through for you?
Yeah.
And he would have done that if it was just you, let alone everybody.
Yeah.
Wow. Most people, a lot of people, I will say, a lot of people they have found historically did not even survive to crucifixion because of trauma and blood loss that would occur from the scourging.
Yeah.
Flogged is not a good way to put it either.
I know.
Scourged
yeah.
is a better way to put it. They whip you with whips that deliberately contain debris
yeah.
until your flesh is torn off of your body and you are ripped open.
Yeah.
While you are chained to a stake.
Yeah.
So the robe had to be completely saturated with blood.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee you, you know, his whole head, I mean, having a crown of thorns rammed into your skull.
Yeah. Passover lamb.
Yeah.
He did everything.
Yeah.
What he was supposed to do.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we fight over the littlest things because our feelings get hurt.
I know. We're fragile.
Because, well, is that really true? You know, truth is so subjective anymore.
Yeah, that's because, like you said, everybody's got their quote-unquote truth. Yes. No, you don't.
Yes.
We've got one truth, and it's called the Bible.
Yes.
That's it. It's God's truth.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, that's your problem, not God's.
Yeah.
Take it up with him. Yeah. Please do. I encourage you to do that. He's waiting for you to do that.
Oh, yes.
You know, go to him. He can take it. He can take your anger. He can take your hatred even. He can take your vitriol. He just wants to have a conversation with you. He yeah. wants to have a relationship with you. And you know what? At least if you're doing that, you got a chance of working through it. But if your idea is to just to be wicked and angry and hate everyone that talks about God and talks about the Bible and you're going to do your own thing, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, you ain't going to find happiness on this earth, and you definitely ain't going to find it after.
No, you're not.
Because this is the good times compared to what awaits.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
For all eternity.
Yeah.
And you know what? For those of us that are claiming to be Christian, you know, we talked about it in church, and we've talked about it in church several times. You know, the time of soft Christianity is passing very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, our comfortable Christianity that we've experienced in this country up to this point is going to be a thing of the past here soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to find out who the real followers of Christ are and those who are the posers.
Yeah.
And those who are the ones that are just kind of checking the boxes on Sunday and going home. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christ follower.
Yeah.
And when you see the Savior face to face, he's going to look at you and say, he doesn't know you.
No, that's the sad part.
And you know what? You're going to look at your Savior face to face at some point. It's yeah. going to happen. We all are.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you know, here's the real litmus test. And it's a great thing to ask yourself, and you got to be real honest. Are you prepared to die today for your faith?
Yeah.
Are you prepared to die today if someone put a gun in your face and said, do you deny Christ? If you deny Christ right now in front of me, I'll let you live. And if you don't, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Because that's what's coming. Christ told us.
Yeah.
Matthew 24.
And and also on the Columbine shooters, wouldn't they ask kids that too?
I believe they would, yeah.
And if they answered yes, then they would shoot them.
I believe so.
Now,
and a couple of them answered that they would not.
Yeah.
You know, and we see it like even his top guy, you know, even Peter. Denied him three times to save his own skin.
I remember I had the book Jesus Freaks from DC Talk, mm-hmm. and there was a story of a Chinese girl in there, and this I think 50s or 60s, and some soldiers came in or something and like found the house church and like ripped up the Bible, and this little girl. Or spit on the Bible or something. This little girl picked it up and was like cleaning it off. And they killed her.
Mm.
Just for picking the Bible up and cleaning it off.
Wow.
You know? And we think that can never happen here. It's happening. It's slow.
Mm-hmm. It's a slow burn.
Yeah, it is. And once when it goes, it's like a Mount St. Helens exploding. It's going to be all over with real quick.
We're bulging right now.
Yes, we are.
You know, and it, like it said, you know, we got in, we had a great discussion last week after, it's one of those, some of our best discussions are the ones that happens after we hit stop.
Yeah. But and, they have to.
They do. They do. It's important. So we got into Matthew 24 and really looking at this because, you know, part of the discussion is talking about what's going to be coming in 70 AD with the temple. And then the other part of the discussion is going to be what's going to happen at the end. And it's very layered, right? Christ is probably talking about both in certain instances. And but by the end of Matthew 24, he's completely shifted his focus to the end of the age, like what we're looking at. One of the things that I will say that I think we do a lot, and I want to just call this out, is we tend to get hung up on, well, you know, the Greek says this. Okay, that's fine. The Greek can say that. But here's the thing. One thing to remember, they didn't speak Greek. I mean, they might have, like Christ might have spoken Greek, but the fact of the matter is they lived their lives speaking Aramaic mm-hmm. and Hebrew, right? When Christ goes to the temple, he's reading Hebrew.
Yeah.
He's not reading Aramaic, and he's definitely not reading Greek, you know? So this is an Aramaic and Hebrew world that we're talking about, even though the Greek is typically how all of our Bibles are translated now. So that's important to remember because the language is different than what, you know, for anybody that wants to lean on to the Greek translations of things, I'm going to caution you with that. Now that's a side note, but he says right here, and he's talking about kind of in this section right here about the temple, but I think he's really talking about our time as well. For me personally, this is what I believe. And it's in Matthew 24, verse 7, for peoples will fight each other, nations will fight each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various parts of the world. All this is but the beginning of the birth pains. At that time, you will be arrested and handed over to be punished and put to death. And all peoples will hate you because of me. At that time, many will be trapped into betraying and hating each other. Many false prophets will appear and fool many people. And the many people's love will grow cold because of increased distance from Torah or from law. But whoever holds out until the end will be delivered.
And it just proves that people, oh, you're a Buddhist. That's so good. Oh, you follow Krishna. Oh, that's so good. You know, all these, but you say you're a Christian or a Christ follower. Oh,
yeah.
Well, then you're a bigot and a racist then.
Yeah.
And that's the farthest from the truth.
You know, and it is, it's the furthest from the truth. But unfortunately, you know, we've put a lot of that blood on our own hands.
Yeah.
Because as far as the faith goes, I don't know another faith that, unless maybe it's a Jewish, you know, or Middle Eastern, but man, we've got so much blood on our hands from a historical perspective.
Oh yeah.
You know, and blood on our conscience, bloody conscience, dirty conscience, the things that we've done under the name of God. I mean, look how we fight with each other. We were talking about this too. You know, the divisions that are,
oh man.
I mean, we fight over the stupidest thing. Like look at the Super Bowl commercial, you know, here we got to. Let's just put this in perspective. We've got a, and I'm not picking on anybody, you know, I've got friends that had some opinions on this. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. So I just want to clarify that. But do we really want to get mad about putting Jesus on the TV in any form? Right. Isn't that a far cry from all the other crap that we're going to get pounded into our heads? At least we're talking about Jesus.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing, but it's just ridiculous. I remember seeing the commercial and I thought it was weird but not a, I'm like,
I didn't see any heresy in it.
No, I'm like, I remember the commercial and I'm like, that's different.
Yeah.
Wonder who did that? Cause that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, my first thought, what's their agenda? Everybody's got, you know, I'm a cynic,
I agree with you.
And I'm like, what's their agenda? So Maria looked it up and it was really good. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, you know, people are still upset about it.
Oh my gosh, dude. You go on Facebook and like Christians were tearing down other Christians and like having a big argument about this. And I'm thinking to myself, everybody's watching you.
Get over it.
But everybody's watching you all do this. Are we converting when everybody's like, who wants to be a part of that?
I know. I don't.
Why? Like we had Kat Von D. Kat Von D moves to Indiana, leaves a life behind of basically witchcraft.
Yeah.
All right. With her family, because I think she finally woke up and realized, dude, this is bad stuff.
Yeah.
Converts to Christianity, gets baptized, you know, the whole nine, you know, turns her life over. And it wasn't good enough for some Christians. Know. You know, they see her post something and they're like, oh, how no, though she was real Christian there. Look at that. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, my goodness, this poor woman literally just turned her life over to Christ.
It's a walk, not a run, folks.
Dude, she's learning how to be, you know, a faithful follower of Christ. Yeah. And y'all are tearing her down.
I know.
This woman left witchcraft, man. She left the pit that is Hollywood.
I know.
And all of it, left all of it behind.
What have those people done that are the keyboard warriors? You know?
Judging by the fruit, right?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a lot of good fruit flying from those fingertips.
I'm not either. Boy, we're in a mood today.
Well, we are fired up.
Maybe we shouldn't eat what we ate for lunch today before we do it.
Spicy Mexican makes for spicy conversation, Ben.
That's right.
You know what? But we're not speaking anything that isn't true.
No, it's,
you know, it's the truth.
And it hurts sometimes.
You know what? Hey, you know what? If we're really talking about what we're talking about and what's coming's coming. Because something's coming, we all agree.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's going to happen 40 days after or what the timeline on this is, but there's a timeline here.
Yeah.
You know, and we're watching biblical prophecy start to play out. We're running out of, you know, I've said this for a while now, but we've enjoyed being on the fence enough, and we're running out of fence.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
We're running out of fence. We got to pick one side or the other, you know, and Christ even said as much. You're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. So I spit you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, or is that God?
God.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, either one.
Yeah. I went straight to the source.
That one, either one on that one, because.
Right. But it's the truth, right? You're neither hot nor cold. So you're useless to me. At least I know if you're cold, you're cold. And if you're hot, you're hot.
But you know, I just thought.
Can't do anything with lukewarm.
I just thought of when Jesus was discussing with, his disciples about who would be willing to drink from his cup.
Hmm. Yeah.
Are we willing to drink that cup?
Are you willing to have all those things done?
Yeah.
You know, I like to think that I am, but you know, until you face those trials, you're never going to know for sure. But the real question is, do you think you are?
Yeah.
Cause if you're not even there, you got some work to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to tell you 4, 5, 6 years ago, and you asked me that question, and I answered you honestly, I couldn't have said it to you with that kind of certainty.
I know.
You know, I just couldn't. But now today, yeah.
And I was, my buddy at work I talk to every day, we were talking about TV preachers that came up in church again today.
Most TV preachers.
And he asked me, do you think they're going to heaven? Hmm. Just straight up. I said, no.
Some of them know. I mean, I'd have to go down the list and just judge the fruit, but man, it sure ain't looking good for some people.
That's another division that drives us that drives Christians apart.
Oh, for sure.
TV preachers.
I cannot tell you how many conversations I've had about with people of like, I don't want to have anything to do with your faith because of this.
Yeah.
I've had those conversations.
And I will tell you, this was like over maybe 20 years ago. And there, where we lived at the time, there was this older lady. She followed those TV preachers. She was a full gospel lady, nice lady. I had not a problem with her. And I had like a health issue. And so this is the craziest. I mean, she spoke in tongues and anointed me with oil.
Hmm.
That was the weirdest thing. Yeah. That I experienced because I don't, speaking in tongues fascinates me.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. It does. But, and it was, she didn't dump it. It was just kind of like, you know, she did like a little, crucifix on my forehead or something.
Dabble, do you?
Yeah. And then she gave me the oil. She said, keep the oil. But I didn't, the health problem was okay.
Wow.
So
you know what? Faith healed you.
Yes. But
hers and yours.
She followed those guys, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the people that follow them are bad. I'm saying they are bad.
I'm like, if you're teaching everybody that all God is just to get a get rich quick scheme.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a relationship.
Yeah. No.
Because that's not it at all.
No. And it's we need the church and Christians need to unite. If you hear this show or you listen to the show, whenever, I think it would be a really good time to stop and pray for unity in the church.
100%. And
pray that 100%. And pray that God stays his hand of judgment.
Yep.
I'm if and whenever it is.
Yeah, no, yeah. So, yeah, there's just a lot, you know, and I think, again, your brother last week, you know, when we interviewed him, obviously has some differing opinions on the way he thinks the end is going to look compared to what you and I believe. And that's fine. You know, like, we can all read the Bible and we can, you know, interpret it different ways, but somebody's going to be right and somebody's not, you know. And the biggest thing, though, that I think came out of that discussion for me is, you know, everybody feels like there's something coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's something's coming.
And he doesn't believe in a rapture either.
No, he does not. This is true. That we can agree on. So, yeah, you know, and I've got some friends that obviously, you know, subscribe to the rapture. And I looked up some verses this week that they had given me and some chapters, and I read those. And my friend sent me some more information here a little bit ago that I'll look into. And, you know, I can tell you after reading the chapters that I read, I still stand by what the way that the Bible reads to me is that we're going to get out of here 3.5 years into the mix after the seventh trumpet.
You know, they need to get out of their dispensationalism and get back to the Bible.
Yeah, it's...
Sorry, folks.
Ben said it.
Everybody, that little thing, that little piece of paper that says Old and New Testament, rip that out. There is, it's
all one book.
All one book.
Yeah.
And God didn't make this book. Man did. Yeah. God dictated the authors.
Yeah.
So there's probably books that aren't in here that should be in here that would give us more clarity. I'm saying that right now.
Oh boy, it is getting spicy this week.
And if you don't believe that, you need to read your Bible. You need to dig into your Bible, because there's other books that Moses even talks about that we don't have. And if you think, you know, I remember Christ saying, I can't remember where it is exactly, the address, but he pretty much said, if you don't believe him, you don't believe Moses, or vice versa. So you need to get thick into the word, not the New Testament, the Old Testament, because that's all they had.
Yeah.
You dig into that, you will understand there's a whole world out there that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the powers and principalities that are outside our realm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be. You're speaking.
I'm getting a little fired up.
Getting fired up. It's all right. You're speaking some truth over there. So, you know, it's one of those things where we talked about this at lunch too, breaking out of that Western civilization.
Oh yeah.
We do. We're comfortable. We got a Western church with Western thinking and New Age thinking in some cases. And, if somebody says something to you, including us, I just want to say this right now, including us, you can hear us say whatever, you know, obviously we like to go to the Bible and we like to read stuff to you. We'll give you our interpretation of it. And we'll even, you know, take you to other passages where it seems to fit really well. But you know what? Don't take our word for it.
Study
yourself.
That's what we say. Look.
Yeah. Go look, you know,
look, it's see.
Fine. You like your certain preacher, you know, you like your certain person that says something. Well, that's fine. But go vet his words. Get into the Bible. Don't just take it as quote unquote gospel.
I used to listen to a lot of moody preachers. They're good to a point. They're I'm going to.
I told you one earlier. I'll drop. Are you going to drop name drop?
I really liked David Jeremiah.
Oh, there you go.
I still do.
I have no problem with David Jeremiah except for what I ran into the other day.
Yeah. I used to like James McDonald till I found out he was a compulsive gambler I'll just throw it out there. You know, I don't think he's on Moody anymore.
Oh, really?
And when like 08 happened, like the big downturn, he was asking for a raise and stuff and insisted on one, even though people couldn't afford him.
Just because he had to pay his gambling debts?
Yes.
Well, that's unrepentant sin we haven't dealt with, isn't it?
Yes. So
it's not good.
I'm sorry, folks. I'm just like,
that's okay.
Ripping the band-aid off, like I said. And we've sat around and just sat too long.
Yeah.
And there is an urgency, and it is knocking on the door.
Yeah. not to pick on David Jeremiah, but here's, I'll share with them what I shared with you at lunch. Because I see this a lot of times to justify the idea of a pre-tribulation rapture. And it was in this particular article. Now, maybe he didn't, to be fair to David Jeremiah, maybe he did not write the article. I would have to go back and see who actually wrote the article, but it was on his website. Mm-hmm. So I would think that he probably wrote it, but, you know, he's a pretty famous guy. He's probably got some people writing for him. But I would hope that if I had somebody writing for me, they would write from the perspective of the things that I believed in and not just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were justifying a pre-tribulation rapture, and they used 1 Corinthians 15:52. And it says, it will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, and we'll be raptured out of here. But they stopped. They didn't even finish the final portion of that verse.
They didn't, the comma.
They didn't read anything after. They didn't even read technically half of that verse. And I'll back up to 50, because this is Paul. And again, he's talking to the church in Corinth, who are Gentiles, right? Let me say this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot share in the kingdom of God, nor can something that decays share in what does not decay. Look, I will tell you a secret. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. It will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, at the final shofar, for the trumpet, for the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever, and we too will be changed. That's the entirety of 52. Now, I did read 50 and 51, but 52 starts, but it will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, at the final shofar. Shofar will sound, the dead will be raised to life, for to live forever, and we too will be changed. That's the entirety of 52.
Yeah.
And we just trim off the final shofar and all the part that we don't like, and we use the front part to justify rapture.
Yeah.
That's, you can't do that.
No.
The Bible is not there for your editorial pleasure. Yeah. Read it as it is, and if you want to justify your point with what the scripture says in its entirety, I'm perfectly fine with listening to you.
We've done so many shows, I forget. We've done one on the rapture, right?
Final trumpet, yes.
Yes. And
I don't remember which episode it was.
I don't either.
Go back and listen. There you go.
But I think we kind of debunked that back then.
Yeah.
Because rapture is a man's thing. It's not scriptural. It's man's way of saying, oh, take us out, Santa Claus.
Yeah. I had a discussion, and I was coming on pretty hard with during my discussion with some folks. So I'm trying to soften my approach a little bit. Hey, you know, because here's my only concern with it. You know, first of all, again, we can't all be right. Somebody's going to be wrong. You know, and no matter of who's wrong and who's right isn't the ultimate importance. What is important is which one of the two is right, because that will determine what happens after that. And the idea of the rapture, if it's a pre-tribulation rapture and boof, poof, we're out of here before any bad stuff happens. Hey, I like your version way better than mine, you know, because we get out of a lot of bad things based on the way I read it. Now, based on the way I read things, and the way that it seems to me with what the scripture is saying to us, is that's not going to happen. We're going to experience a fair amount of tribulation and some really crazy, whacked out, horrific things before we get out of here and Christ comes back to claim us. Now, there's two things that happen under our version versus theirs. One, the amount of apostasy, the turning away from faith, is going to be very high, and we're going to lose people.
I think I know what it is.
What?
I think a lot of people think there is going. Can I just?
Yeah. The other thing that's going to happen is they get comfortable with the idea of a rapture.
Can I like have a little side note?
Fine, go fire away.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he's big in the UFO world, and there is a thing that the UFO world believes that the government is going to fake a rapture.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard this?
Yeah. Project Bluebeam?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, okay, if that happens, if it's faked, and if you think you're a Christian.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get sucked into that.
You are not. Talk about a falling away.
Yeah, it's very true.
And I'm telling you, they run with anything they get.
Oh, sure.
The evil.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it.
And I'm saying evil. I mean, there's, I'm talking, when I say I'm going past human, straight up.
Oh, principalities and powers.
Yes. Mm-hmm, yeah. And they're, like I said a few weeks ago, like they're using man to do things, they're bidding and whatnot. And
oh, for sure.
And so
we're pawns.
Yes.
To them.
We're just under the table.
Yes, we are.
Some of you might get that reference.
Yep. Some will. Some won't probably, but some will. Yeah. You know, here's the thing. You know, okay, so let's take a step back.
Sorry,
that's perfectly fine. Glad you did. So let's just pull the lens back here on the last 3 weeks of conversation just to kind of round this off. Okay.
Oh man, I was really wanting to go a little bit somewhere else.
Oh, go. We can go there. We got time. It's our show.
Psalms 22.
We're slowly stretching this out to 3 hour conversations. No, go ahead. Psalms 22.
Psalms 22.
Now that's I believe it from what I remember. Psalms 22. Yes. There's like seven things that happen in Psalms 22 that are just crucifixion of Christ.
Yes, but we can take that a little bit layered too. Hmm. I know it's prophetic for the crucifixion, but if David was the apple of God's eye, why would he say, my God, why have you forsaken me?
No.
And David did a lot of bad things, but he was still the apple of God's eye, and he still had judgment upon him.
Yeah.
Now, that's just one instance, David, because you go with that. I was thinking about that, you know? Mm-hmm. All of the apostles. Mm. Were martyred. Horrific deaths.
Yeah, I think all but maybe one or two, maybe.
Yeah, except for John.
Yeah.
He just kind of disappeared. You know, there is.
It's got to be John.
It's got to be John. Disappeared. What makes you think if Jesus' closest friends and brothers. Mm-hmm.
Which we see in 24, he told them it was going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't make it out of. And it's not. I'm This is what's pressing to me. Mm-hmm. Don't believe a man, made up man's thing.
Yeah. Dig into the scripture for yourself.
Because if you fall away because of Joe Schmo.
Yeah, you listen to somebody and you didn't go study for yourself.
Yes.
Study. I think we have a ton of that in the church.
Yes. You know, this is what's pressing. And the falling away is scary, and it's slow. It's a like a slow burn, like you said earlier.
Yeah,
be strong in your faith.
Yeah, this is an interesting conversation too, because we're getting into the realm of apostasy now.
Yeah,
which I think maybe we've covered that too. But, yeah, you know, I want to caution everybody not to get caught up in the argument of apostasy too, because I see this happening within the church, and here's why. I think why we wind up arguing when we actually agree. Because you and I believe that you can be faithfully following Christ and then you'll fall away because of your choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. We believe that. You and I do. And I think there's scripture to back that up. Some people will say no, because if they were actually Christ followers and they actually truly had repented and had a changed heart, then they wouldn't do that anyway. So they weren't really saved to begin with. And they probably could pull some scriptures to back that up. Okay. But really, when you're at the end of the day, you agree. What you disagree on is the front end.
Yeah.
Whether they were really saved or not, whether they had given their lives, not saved, but given their lives over to Christ for salvation or not. You actually technically agree on the back end, because both of you agree this person is no longer fit for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right. They're not going to make it to be with us for eternity. So I think it's one of those things where I've seen arguments, you know, spur up over that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's actually, you actually agree. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You agree on the back end that they're not going to make it into the kingdom, but what you disagree on is the front end of whether or not they were there in the first place. Yeah. So, but either way, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, now whether someone thinks, when this all goes down and people turn away from their faith, well, then they were never a faithful follower in the first place. Okay, fine. Or you and I believe that they were a faithful follower, but they didn't do enough study on their own to solidify what scripture says. And they just listen to people and they fall away. Either way, the end result is they're falling away.
Yeah.
They're not going to make it into the kingdom. that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, we need to keep that from happening. And I'm telling you, things are not going to get better. They're not.
Yeah.
That is seemingly very clear. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. All these things are going to get worse. I wish I could sing a happier tune than that, but I can't, because that would be a lie. If these things are truly happening that we're reading, which it sure seems like they are, all these prophetic things, we can tell where we are in this, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So if you're already on shaky ground as far as your faith and you don't do anything to solidify that faith, you're going to wind up falling away.
Yeah.
And you're going to be lost forever.
Yeah.
So the time is now to dig into your Bibles. Stop listening to people, including you and I. Now, of course, we want you to listen, but we want you to dig in for yourself and don't take it for our word. You know, go pull these scriptures up yourself. Matthew 12:39, Matthew 13, Matthew 24, Jonah. I think we've touched on Thessalonians. We've touched on 1 Corinthians, Revelation,
Psalm 22.
Go read all these things for yourself. Use the study Bibles, man. Get into the YouVersion, which is the Bible app, and just start doing searches on things that are interesting to you and start digging into God's word. I promise you, when you start to do that and you have a heart that you really want to learn more about God and have a relationship with him and just learn more about where you come from and who you really are in the creation scheme, man, God will reward that.
Yeah.
And he will take you down the path and your eyes will start to be opened.
Yeah.
But if you keep continuing to live separated from God, or you just live soft in your faith, the time is coming where you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but that's where we are.
So where are you going to be on April the 8th?
Are we giving a shameless plug here?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to have a celebration of the eclipse on April 8th. We're actually going to have it at our church.
Yeah.
Sugar Plain Friends in Thorntown, Indiana.
Yeah.
So come on out. We got a men's event that we're going to have. The Sugar Creek Men's Ministry is actually going to meet out there, as well as the ladies are putting on event just at the same time.
It's going to be cooking
kind of a combo pack. We have burgers and dogs, I'm sure drinks and chips and everything. And we'll even have some glasses for you, so you don't have to stare at the eclipse and lose your eye sockets.
Yeah.
Or have the sun cook your eyes out of your skull.
And we've got something else coming up too for then, don't we?
I do believe we do. Yes. Yeah. Boy, you're good. Look at this. Ben's setting me up. It's like T-ball. So March 23rd, get your tickets now. March 23rd. So literally 2 weeks from this last Saturday.
Oh, I got to get ready.
Well, we got to do some prep, brother. 2 weeks from this last Saturday. So less than 2 weeks now, as you guys hear this. March 23rd from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We are actually going to do a live stream event. So you can sit in the comfort of your home. And you can join Ben and I as we do a live stream and we talk about the Book of Enoch.
Are you going to be wearing that?
I will probably not be wearing my robe, which I have on right now because this is an audio podcast. I am very comfy.
Yes.
In the basement here, in my sweats and my
sweats.
My wife will laugh at that line. And my robe. Fleece is my spirit animal.
So not comfy that night then.
Nah, we'll be more presentable.
Yeah.
So March 23rd, 6 to 8:30 p.m., we were charging $25. That is no longer the case. It is now absolutely just give whatever you want. And if that's nothing, if you can't give right now, no problem. We just feel like the Book of Enoch is so, so, so important, especially as we continue to get closer and closer to the end, for everybody to have that knowledge, because it makes the Bible come alive more than you will ever have without it. I can promise you it has been life-changing for me specifically. And I know Ben could probably say something similar when he read that. It does so many things to unlock the Bible in ways that you just can't fully understand.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
And I can't even, I'm like.
Yeah. It gets into depth of where we come from, the history of who we are, where we truly come from, Genesis 6 in detail. The sin that occurred during that time frame, and even all the way up into the New Testament, as far as what Christ was actually doing, a big, huge part of his mission while he was here, and near the end, that is completely lost on you if you don't know the story.
Yeah, it goes through the movement of the heavens.
Yep. So stars, much stuff.
Days, actual real days.
Yep.
Not man's made up days.
Nope.
Gives you God's calendar.
Yep.
It's a boring, it's a struggle for me.
Yeah, but there's so much fascinating stuff in there. So we're going to do a deep dive into the Book of Enoch, and then we're actually going to open it up at the end for your Q&A questions, and we'll answer some of those live as well. And again, tickets are completely just donation-based. You can give nothing if you don't have it. That's perfectly fine. We just want you to be a part, have the information, or you can give whatever you feel led to. And I know that there's already been folks that who have done that, and thank you so much for that, for helping support the podcast. So, but get your tickets because they are limited. We can only have 250 people on the live stream.
And we would love to have 250.
That would be fantastic if we had all 250 seats filled. But you will need to get a ticket in order to get keys to the live stream, like a link and everything.
We're giving for
the
keys.
Well, it's a link to the live stream.
I like the idea of keys.
It sounds fancy that
makes
way.
Them own,
it
makes them feel like they own something.
So yeah, make sure you guys go out and keys go to our
keys to the kingdom.
Keys to the Enoch information in the kingdom. So go to www.thetfhc today and just click on the events link and you will have it right there and you can click and get your ticket or tickets if you want to have multiple people on.
We'd love to see you.
Yeah, we'd love to have
figuratively.
We'd love to have you be a part of the live stream. So thank you guys very much. Also, we do have merch out there. You guys can go on there and you guys can support the show that way. If you want to get some merch, we've had several people do that as well. So thank you guys very much. You guys are awesome for doing that. Appreciate it. And I think that's it. So
yes, get in your Bibles, read the word.
Man, I'm telling you,
get right with God.
Get right, because time is a running thin.
That's right.
So we got red heifers and eclipses and solar alignments and Ninevehs and Jonahs and 40 days and lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
Apocalypse, oh my. So with that, we will bid you adieu until next time on The Foil. Take care.
Bye. I told you. I told you.